I'm Pip Jope from Central New South Wales, and I was invited to apply for a position with our local Landcare group, the Little River Landcare group, just in administration role, which I took that up 2 weeks after having my second child. I was desperate to get back out into the workforce. And just through that process, I guess it's very sort of organic in that sense, that my passion grew and I just went, this is such an important thing. And particularly after having just had two young children, you feel, as a mother, quite connected to what does the world need to look like to support my children, and, you know, all those maternal instincts kicking in. And I could just see that the role that natural resource management plays in supporting humanity is critical. And so I've thoroughly enjoyed working with landholders to improve, you know, my backyard of where I live and where my family are growing up. But over time I've seen that it's, you know, when you have a particular skill set and an ability to communicate and help engage people, that you have to spread that. And so I guess I'm starting to have more of a role on a much larger regional scale and enjoying it.
Well, you are as CEO of the Little River Landcare Group, but you'd have to be making some of those really hard business sorts of decisions, allocating scarce resources. Is it getting harder?
It's getting a lot harder. Yes, as a CEO, it is terribly hard to go through that process of making those decisions. I am supported, though, by an extraordinary management committee. We had a big change 3 years ago away from that traditional land care model of where it was just representation from across a region. We now have a management committee that's based on skills. And so we effectively headhunted particular skills that we needed to take the organisation to a place of more being a social enterprise rather than just a not-for-profit ad hoc organisation. And so we have a very strict strategic plan which we work to. That's my key performance indicators as a staff member. I'm judged against that strategic plan. So that helps guide where you need to go, and it also makes you, or gives you that tool to say, does this project or does this offer lead us towards our strategic plan? And if it doesn't, you don't consider it. You put it to the side and you keep focused on that goal.
No matter how worthy. So then inside that strategic framework, what would you say your real achievements are?
Look, our strategic plan encompasses not only environmental aspects in productive ag, but it also encompasses the social issues that we have in our catchment, the economic issues, and how we're going to address those, and how we start to create a platform that moves forward in developing those in our community. So we recognise that land care is as much about people care, but also about, you know, the whole of community. And what does it take to not only improve our landscape, but, you know, the farming businesses that are in it and our local economy? And we set a goal in about 2006 that said we would not lose one of our farmers to suicide. And we recognise that to date that's been our greatest accomplishment. We haven't lost one, and we've managed to bring our community together around social issues, and we're the social conduit of our community. That's been our greatest achievement. The greatest challenge we have ahead of us right now is moving from a model, look, it's very traditional of all land care groups and probably all not-for-profit of being dependent on government funding, and moving to a model where we can sustain ourselves through corporate partnerships, trade opportunities, those sorts of things. So that's where our current strategic plan sits in trying to develop those in a range of, as I said, sort of in that triple bottom line approach.
Well, can I ask you finally, where does your group, one that you've created, Women in the Landscape, fit within all of this?
Okay, that's a program that we started. Well, when I started with the organisation 10-odd years ago, there was a very low engagement of women in the projects and activities that we ran. So we formed the Women in the Landscape program to have a different way of thinking about how do we educate women, how do we include women in what we do. And that has sort of grown now to the point where about 40 to 50% of our project participants and workshop attendees are women now. So they now value their role in decision making and understanding what it takes to run an agricultural business, what it takes to manage the landscape in a holistic way. And we upskill them so that they are confident people that can participate in the community. And we're really proud of what we've achieved, but we still see that there's a great distance to go. Women are so underrepresented in agriculture and in business, and yet they are the most extraordinarily gifted people that we have in our community. You know, I don't need to sell to you how wonderful women are.
Well, you're a living example, aren't you?